Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Ian Baruma, and he's out with just a fun book, a fun history book. It's called The Churchill Complex, The Curse of Being Special, From Winston and FDR to Trump and Brexit. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Ian, this whole relationship between the American president and the prime minister of Britain, ever since my lifetime, and that's almost five decades now, it's always reminded me sort of a couple of exes, ex-lovers, who just can't get enough of each other, and they need to go back every once in a while for maybe a bonus night or something. You trace this whole idea of this relationship back to basically Churchill era. How did you pinpoint that point in history where all of this business started?
Well, it was Churchill who coined the phrase, the special relationship, which, as others have pointed out, was always more special in London than it was in Washington, I think. But Churchill needed this because he realized in the beginning of the war in 1940 that without the United States, Britain could never win the war against Germany. And so that's really where it started. The reason I call it the curse of being special is that too many prime ministers and presidents have tried to sort of perpetuate this romance that contributed so much to beating the Nazis in times when it really wasn't appropriate. And so too many presidents of the U.S. have seen Churchill as a model and were tempted to embark on often reckless wars, supposedly to fight for freedom and democracy, with Britain as the junior partner, and whereas Britain would have been much better placed after the war to play a leading role in Europe, instead of that, it sort of clung to the special relationship with the U.S. as though the glory of 1945 could simply continue.
I think if you ask people to name a British prime minister here in the United States, probably of history, the only one that anybody could probably come up with is Churchill, or maybe the current prime minister. But in Great Britain, is Churchill still looked at as a deity among people of both parties, or is it like the United States where we're so fragmented right now that the Republicans love Ronald Reagan, the Democrats love JFK, and there's no crossover love for those people?
I think in Britain that I'm not sure he was ever a deity except to certain people. But I think people have always been ambivalent about him. I think they saw him as a great wartime leader and not ideal in peacetime, which is, of course, why, to the surprise of many people, especially in the United States, he was voted out of office in the last year of the war. People did not want to go back to what Churchill represented as the upper class and great economic disparities and so on after the war. I think the cult of Churchill has been much greater in the U.S., hence the absurd rows about, you know, the Churchill's bust in the Oval Office and President Obama being blamed for taking him out and so on and so forth. It's the U.S. presidents, I think, who saw themselves often as Churchill as they embarked on different wars, rather than British prime ministers.
As the years have gone on since Churchill and this special relationship after Churchill coined the phrase came into being, was this something that was sort of an unspoken rule between the leaders of these two nations that this special relationship existed, or is it an official deal?
It's certainly not an official deal, and the Americans were often very sensitive about it. U.S. presidents realized that they needed to have strong allies in other parts of Europe, in other parts of the world, and were very conscious of the fact that the French and others were afraid that the British and the Americans would gang up on them. And so when, under Dean Acheson as Foreign Secretary, some of his own people in the State Department in a document referred to the special relationship, he was very angry. He said, yes, we have an alliance with Britain, but I don't want that phrase to be used because it will irritate other Europeans. So from the point of view of the Americans, it was a great deal less special than it was from the point of view of the British. The British were the ones whose power was declining ever since the end of the war and thought that hanging on to the United States would still give them, as it were, a place at the high table.
In the book, you describe an editorial cartoon that came out during the LBJ administration here, and it was the magazine Private Eye, and Prime Minister Harold Wilson was in office at the time. Can you describe that cartoon and how it might have captured the thoughts of a lot of Brits back then with the relationship between LBJ?
I think cartoon you're referring to is of Harold Wilson licking, being a little dog, licking LBJ's behind. And LBJ says something along the lines of, I know this relationship is supposed to be special, but this is taking things a little too far.
Was that something that was a popular thought back then as you've gone and done your historical research?
Yes, it was. Harold Wilson was one of the prime ministers, even though he was a Labour prime minister, so he was of the left, who was very, very keen to have a very close relationship with the U.S. He thought it would give him a platform to play a global role. But he had a problem because, of course, the U.S. was then in the Vietnam War. And Harold Wilson also realized that if he would do as LBJ asked him many times and send British troops to fight alongside the Americans in Vietnam, he would lose the entire left of his own party. So he was stuck between having to keep his own party together and pleasing the White House. An unfamiliar position for British prime ministers to be in.
I'm chatting with Ian Baruma about his new book, The Churchill Complex, The Curse of Being Special, from Winston and FDR to Trump and Brexit. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. We saw in the United States that strange relationship between George W. Bush and Tony Blair when he was prime minister and Bush was president that really led to the Iraq War. And so looking back on that now with about 20 years in hindsight, what are the thoughts about how the relationship can maybe not turn sour but can have sour results?
Yes, well, that was a perfect example of a reckless war that was fought for many reasons, obviously, but the ghost of Churchill was hovering in the background, and so was the ghost of Chamberlain, the famous or notorious British Prime Minister who appeased Nazi Germany in 1938 and let Germany invade Czechoslovakia. And whereas many American and British leaders have seen Churchill as a model ever since the war, the anti-model, the man that the model to avoid, was always Chamberlain. And in the just before the Iraq War, in his memoirs, Tony Blair describes how he was reading Chamberlain's diaries and realized that this was not the way to go. And so he had World War II very much in mind when he joined the Americans in the invasion of Iraq, much against the wishes of the left of his own party. So he did what Harold Wilson refused to do and paid a very heavy price for it, as did his party. And a lot of this came out of sort of a nostalgia for the Anglo-American relationship in World War II. It wasn't the only reason, but it played a part.
Over the years, has this special relationship had the unintended consequence of Britain not forging relationships with other countries like Canada or any number of other countries?
Well, it certainly had a very close relationship with Canada because Canada is part of the Commonwealth. But it did prevent Britain from playing the leading role it should have from the very beginning in Europe. When integration of European nations in common institutions that began with the coal and steel community and then the European Economic Community and finally the European Union, the British, as victors in World War II, had a very high prestige. And they were more or less offered the leadership in shaping the future of Europe by the other European nations. And the British always felt too superior for that and kept aloof and were always on the outside as a consequence. And, well, in the end, of course, it led to a complete break with Brexit. And this was against what most American presidents wanted. Most American presidents wanted Britain to play a leading role in Europe and be the kind of bridge between the United States and the continent of Europe.
Well, and your subtitle mentions Brexit, and you just brought it up. We all know what the government of Great Britain did with, or what the voters of Great Britain did with respect to Brexit now. And as this special relationship continues now, there was sort of this love affair. I don't know that Theresa May was necessarily part of it, but certainly with Boris Johnson and President Trump. How much did that special relationship play a role in the voters just psychologically? I know it happened before Trump took office, but psychologically wanting to break from the EU?
Well, I think it played a role in the sense that the campaign for Brexit had a lot of very nostalgic elements, with references to our finest hour, to beating Germany, to Spitfires and all that. And so the idea that Britain was close, should be closer to the United States than to the continent of Europe was certainly part of Brexit.
Is there a lot of commonality between the culture of Great Britain and the culture of the United States right now as far as the factions go, the political factions?
Well, there is a commonality in the sense that both countries are now led by variations of right-wing populism. And they're also both led by people who are basically showmen. Boris Johnson, including his sort of mimicry of Churchill's mannerism, he's very much a showman. And what he really believes is unclear. He may not really believe in anything except himself. And you could say the same thing about the President of the United States. So they have a lot in common in that sense. But of course, the two countries were always different and still are quite different in many respects.
Has there been anything positive to come out of the relationship between Johnson and Trump?
No, and not in my opinion. I don't think that very much positive has come out of either government either. So this is a question of political opinion, but I don't think you could say that there's anything very positive about either of them.
Is there a possibility then that the special relationship may not continue past the two current administrations?
Well, in a way, the special relationship hasn't really meant a great deal for a long time. It meant something in World War II. It meant something in shaping the post-war order, the international institutions, the IMF, that sort of thing. But it hasn't really meant anything very substantial, except maybe in the intelligence community. There's a lot of cooperation there. But I don't think that Trump believes in any special relationship with Britain. And in Britain, a lot of it is sort of either desperation or for show. So I think there's not that much substance to it anymore.
All right. Well, the book was just a fascinating trek through the last, you know, post-World War II history and beyond. It's The Churchill Complex, The Curse of Being Special, from Winston and FDR to Trump and Brexit. It's by Ian Buruma. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Ian, I learned so much by reading this book, and thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.